a while back, I'm on a ski trip with my sons, and my son, my oldest son, just said, you know, he said, "You're, what's happened with you, Dad, is a miracle."
Hey there. Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins, and we're here to share real stories of God's power, stories of hope, healing, and miracles that will strengthen your faith. No matter what you're walking through, we want to remind you that God is good and He's still moving today. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the God's Goodness Podcast. If you heard part one, you already know Kaya Redford's story is powerful. But this next part, it might just change the way you see yourself. In this episode, Kaya reveals the hidden belief that kept him stuck in shame and self-sabotage for decades, a belief that 9 out of 10 people silently carry. And when God shattered that lie, everything shifted. He started walking in boldness, clarity, and true kingdom confidence, not based on achievements, but on how God sees him. If you've ever wondered, why can't I just get out of my own way? This is your episode. Let's dive into this identity resetting, purpose releasing conversation.
When I feel when someone wakes up and they shed an identity of "I don't matter, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy," and this is a big breakthrough. And I'm sometimes surprised that it is, because I would figure that most people would get this insight sooner, but I find 99% of people who are not confident, don't fully accept and love themselves, this hits them when they hear it. And that is, for many years, I had a perception of myself of, honestly, my perception was, I don't matter. How do I know? The closest people that were there to protect me when I was a kid didn't protect me. Not only didn't protect me, there were other things I could get into and won't, it's just,
But from what you've told us, you could argue they set you up.
They set me up.
Put you in that position.
You put me in that position. And then when I'm acting crazy as an 8 or 9 year old doing all these wrong things in school, they're like, "Oh, why does he have this problem? Really?" Because obviously they didn't even know. So they just threw me in boarding school like, "Oh, we have the problem child." Never even asking, why is he having such fun? Where is he learning this stuff? It's happening in the household from these people, but you don't. So it just, it's crazy. So I meet people who have this, "I don't matter. I'm not good enough, not worthy, not deserving," whatever it is. And then when I ask them this question, I say, "How does God see you?" Assuming they believe in God, how does God see you? The answer is always, never have I heard one person say, "God sees me as not good enough, not worthy, not..." No one ever says that. They always say, "Yeah, God sees me as a child of God, sees me as amazing." I'm like, that's interesting. That kind of creates space there. I don't say it right away. I leave them to dwell on that. And I'm wanting them to go, which one should I listen to? My own perception of my own identity, the mask I've decided I am, not worthy, not good at it, or how God sees me? And that's the thing that shifted so drastically for me, and why, and I get it. I'm already on this side of the equation. So to me, it's integrated. But then when I look at someone, I'm almost surprised that if they're so quick to say, "God sees me as this," if that's so quick that they realize that so quickly it's there, then why do they choose to see themselves small when God sees them as a miracle? And then it gets to neuro-linguistic programming. Because in this, and by the way, some people go, "What is NLP? NLP is just the study of human excellence. In fact, what's interesting is NLP really doesn't even exist. All it is the study of us, right? Study of how our brains work, study of how our language, how we talk about, we bring about in our life, and study of our patterns and our behavior. And it basically says, when you have the right mindset, you have the right communication skills. We're not bringing God into the equation of NLP. You got to add God on top of NLP. In fact, God first, NLP, study that here. and use these tools to fulfill God's plan for you, and you're going to be very much aligned. You're going to be good. If you use these techniques and you have no higher purpose to them, then that's a whole other conversation. We'll get to that later. But so when you have the right mindset, the right communication, and the right actions, you're aligned, you have power, you have influence. But when you have a negative mindset, I'm not worthy, I'm not deserving, or I'm not good enough, or lack of confidence, or when you don't communicate what you want, but you start focusing on what your problems are, what you don't want to have in your life, we've always learned that you can never get enough of what you don't want. So as long as I keep talking about what I don't want, energy flows where attention goes. My attention is on my problems. I don't have money. I don't have this, I don't have that. Energy goes there. And because energy goes there, that's what I create and that's what I attract. So we start to learn how to shift our communication and then programming, taking, if a person knows this is what I need to do, but they don't do it, and they do procrastination, they start procrastinating, they're never going to get to their goal. So what I find powerful is if someone could just give up, going back to that original thought, if you could just give up the grandiosity of your ego and step into the grandeur of God, I decided I'm no longer interested in my opinion of myself. It has got me nowhere. Yes, trained number one companies. Yes, made them millions of dollars. Yes, I made some money too. None of that meant anything to me. So I mean, nowhere. Still got me nowhere. I chose that I'm no longer interested in my perception of myself. The only thing I want to know is what God wants for me, what God thinks of me. And I became obsessed with that. And then when I became obsessed with, that's when things changed.
Hey there, listeners. A while back, I had a brutal 4-day headache while my body was fighting something that had taken over my house. My podcast coach, Jenalee Samuel from Java with Jen, commented on my post saying she wished she lived closer so she could stick one of her patches on me. I asked her what she was talking about. She sent me her podcast episode about LifeWave's X39 patches, and I had to check it out. These non-transdermal phototherapy patches use light-based technology to support wellness and energy. No drugs, no chemicals, just light. And get this, Kim Clement prophesied about future medical breakthroughs using light. While results vary, people are experiencing emotional testimonials of healing, pain relief, improving the quality of sleep, improving people's energy, and more. Even Josh is pain-free when he wears them. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Want to learn more? Check out the LifeWave info link in my About section. Of course, these patches aren't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But the stories speak for themselves. Now, back to the show.
So if someone's watching today, your show, and they are where they're at, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, I'm Christian, or whatever, but yet I have an insecurity, yet I don't feel I'm good at this, or I feel like I'm not worthy or not deserving. I'm like, then let's start questioning that. If God sees you this way, if Jesus sees you this way, then how come you choose to see yourself in any different way than what God Jesus sees you as? And if you say, God sees me this way, Jesus sees me this way, saying they're one and the same, then when is now the time for me to step into that and see myself that way and live that way? And that's the identity change. I feel that God is our identity. I believe that is our identity. I believe that's who we really are. Not I am God. God is God. Jesus is God. I'm a part of.
Yeah, you're made God's in his image.
Grace. I'm made in his image. And of course, says God is in everything. So I believe that. I believe God is in everything. And I believe it's about Christ consciousness. I believe that when Jesus healed people, what he did is he saw that they were healed. He saw the holiness. He saw the healed version of him. He didn't see Michelangelo. This is a great example. Michelangelo, most would argue, that one of the most famous sculptor artists of all time. Michelangelo was asked, how do you create these perfect pieces of art, these perfect statues? Michelangelo says, I go to a quarry and I see these big blocks of marble. And then he says, then God, Michelangelo says, God inspires this perfect image within that block of marble. God inspires this image So I see this image that God's given me in this big block of marble. Then what I do is I take that block of marble and I haul it back to my workplace, back to what I was sharing. I take the chisel and hammer and I start to chip away. I start to chip away at all the excess marble. And then eventually, as I keep chipping away, eventually I see the perfect statue. And Michelangelo said, I don't just do my art that way. I look at life that way, everything that way. And so when I think of it in terms of the perfect image, the God part of you, the good in you, I believe there's good in everybody. And I believe what's not good, I believe is part, this is me. I believe that's part of the, it comes from the past. Some may say the devil, some may say the darkness. We can all internalize it different ways. And I really say it all means the same thing. I don't feel that's who we are. I don't feel that is our true nature, the darkness, the evil, the separation, the division, the attack. I believe what NLP has taught me, and that is everything is a learned behavior. There isn't a baby that's born with procrastination. I don't believe. There isn't a baby that's born with a lack of self-worth. I don't believe that. I personally don't believe that. I believe we're born, complete. We're born with this God-given talent to become the best version, the image of God. But I believe that we learned these other behaviors, these toxic ways, these bad patterns. We learned them. We pick them up because we're like a sponge from other people. And then those get weaved into our identity. But I don't believe that's our real identity. Mm-hmm. I believe the journey of life is actually just removing the excess marble and finding a beautiful spirit in you. And I'm still working on it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Masterpieces in the making.
I still work it up. I still go, you got to work on that.
It's one of the reasons I think self-esteem is stupid, because you have this self-esteem, but it's created based off of what you've absorbed as a child from your parents, from your peers, and what you chose to pick out of it and believe for yourself and what you chose to reject. Like, your self-esteem is literally just a mock of what people thought of you. And so how is it myself? It's what other people told me I was or wasn't. And so I try to tell a lot of people, like, self-esteem is dumb. Don't do that. Do God esteem. How does God see you? Don't look at yourself, because you have no clue.
Can you all, whoever's listening to this, you're listening to this right now, can you write down what Josh just shared? You write that down. Self-esteem is, what did you say?
I said it's stupid. It serves no purpose.
It's stupid. Not self-esteem, but God esteem.
Yes.
I love that. God's esteem. And just
know
that
he knows us better than we know us.
As long as you also feel, because I think internalizing it, I know that a lot of people, their representation of God is outside. And I'm not saying God is not outside. Of course, God is everywhere. God is omnipotent, all powerful, right? Everywhere, all omniscient, all knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, all at the same time. So God is everywhere, all at the same time. Omnipotent, all powerful, omniscient, all knowing, omnipresent. But that also means, and that was my another breakthrough. That's a huge breakthrough. Man, this one piece just lifted me up so high. When I learned that God is omnipotent, all powerful, God is omniscient, all knowing, God is omnipresent, I did a visualization. And in that visualization, Marianne Williamson, who ran for a former Democratic nomination for U.S. president, New York Times bestselling author, my mentor, I became a miracle-minded coach, by the way, trained through the Course in Miracles and through her, and having read the Bible a couple of times through too as well. What I did is I did a visualization. She always starts with this light. Close your eyes and get in touch with that little light in you, which is God's light, God's love, God, however you want to look at it, right?
Sure, like a song.
And then expand that light, and it becomes the full size of your body, and then extends beyond you to all the walls around you, to the entire room you're in, to the whole house or condo you're in, to the city block, to the city, to the state, to the country, crosses the seas, to the oceans, to the other countries, eventually envelops the entire planet Earth. And this is my breakthrough. Then I go beyond Earth, because God's not just on planet Earth. God's created everything, omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent. So now going beyond, and I start imagining this light expanding to beyond Earth, to all the other planets, to the entire galaxy, to the universe, to the multi-universe. And then when I got so far out there, I'm thinking God is even bigger than that, even beyond that. God is greater than even beyond my understanding. And I got this sense of that magnitude. And then I asked, who is God? Represented for us as Jesus. And yet the energy of God and Jesus has created all this and has expanded beyond all this, beyond anything that we can describe. So then I asked, okay, if God is omnipotent, created everything, God is omniscient, all-knowing, meaning every property of every object or thing, living or not living, moving or not moving, the DNA, the properties, all that, the instincts of every creature is created by God. So all of that is created by God. So when God is omnipotent, all-powerful, God is omniscient, all-knowing. Now, this was my huge breakthrough. God is omnipresent. Everywhere, all at the same time. That clicked for me big time. That means, wait a minute, Kaya, you think God is out there. You don't think God's in here. You're praying to God outside of you, which God is outside of you. But God's not only outside of you. God is everywhere, all at the same time. God is in you, as you, through you. God is everywhere, all at the same time. Not saying you're God. I'm saying you are, like you said, a fabric of God. But God is everywhere, all at the same time. What that then, my breakthrough then realized this: if God is omnipotent, all powerful, God is omniscient, all knowing, God is omnipresent, ever, all at the same time, that means that all powerful energy that is God is in me. That all knowing energy, Holy Spirit, or however I want to internalize it, that voice in my head is in me. Then what am I not capable of doing? What am I not capable of being? What am I not capable of doing? If God is in me, as me, and through me, and everywhere, and especially if I don't utilize that from a place of ego for some other, but if I come from a place of servitude, if I take on that energy, that love, God's life, from a place of humility and servitude and service for God's will, not for the will of what I want. Not, I used to pray. I know I used to say, I don't care what I want, because I knew I had a thick ego and I knew I had to put this ego. And some people would say, your ego is not a bad thing. Don't beat up on your ego. There's different ways. There's so many different schools of thought on how you should look at your ego. Some people say your ego is not bad. It's just like an untrained watchdog.
I keep thinking edging God out.
Edging God out. And now for me, that's the more way, Shelley, that I see God as the ego, as edging God out. So that was just very big for me. So then I felt like when I walk on stage, God's walking on stage with me. And I do a Course in Miracles prayer every single day. And it's, I'm only here to be truly helpful. I'm here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because he who sent me will direct me. I'm content to be wherever he wishes, knowing that he goes there with me, and I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. The piece, the last piece in there is that I'm very clear that I am not the different schools of thought. There's different people that have different when it gets to this topic, but it all really means the same thing. The Course would say, I'm not the healer. God's the healer. God's the only healer. I'm not the water. I am the faucet. So the water is God. I'm the faucet. The water comes through the faucet to the people. So I'm not the healer. God's the healer. So for me, that's even helped me, because it's got me out of my own grandiosity. Because it's very easy to think you're a guru, to think you know something, and you get on stage. And some of them, it's very easy to live a life of an ego as a teacher, because you're the expert, you're on stage of certain things, and people may need your help. So then that goes to your head. So I'm very clear that the power that I have comes not because of me, but comes because of God. And I maintain that. My dear friend, Les Brown, he says all the time, he says, more of thee and less of me. More of thee and less of me. More of thee and less of me. And he's incredible. A very spiritual man. in his, I think he's close to 70 now, if I'm not mistaken, 68. And he still says that on stage. So what does that tell you? We're all working with an ego. We're all working with an ego. And I've lived half of my life from that place of fear. Of Course in Miracles says the ego, how the ego, what's coming from an ego place as opposed to a God place or a Jesus place or a love place is the fear. It's a fear vibration. The ego is addicted to fear. I spend my whole life in fear, fear of everybody and everything. And so I've stepped away from that and I choose love.
Well, you weren't given a spirit of fear. You're given a spirit of boldness. So when you step into love, which is Jesus,
which is Jesus,
you have to step away from fear. It's the only way it can work. Yeah. You're like, which F word are you going to put in your life? Faith or fear?
Now you missed that word. Yeah. I had another breakthrough. My gosh, this conversation is so many memories of breakthroughs. This one was big too. Reading the course, it said something about when you have fear, what do you do? And it says, do you give your fear over to God? Do you give your fear to Jesus? And it actually, because it's a very profoundly psychological training and spiritual training at the same time. And it says, how can you give something to God or to Jesus that it's not even real? You're giving an illusion, the fear. Mm-hmm. You're giving an illusion. And the moment, and basically the Course says, God can't handle that, can't deal with that, can't do it, because you're giving him an illusion to ask him to carry the burden of illusion. But in his mind, that illusion doesn't even exist. So by trying to give it to him, you never let it go because you're trying to give him an illusion. I thought that was fascinating. If for as long as I'm trying to give God my fear, I'm anchoring my fear as if it's real in me. But God knows it's not real. My goal moving forward, the God's goal for me, because it's really God's goal for me, is to continue to do the success coaching to help people become the best versions of themselves. My ultimate God's goal for me, what I feel very strong in my heart, is to bring humanity together. I feel that we're so divided. And again, if you're watching this and anything I share with in this interview that resonates with you, go with it. Anything I share with you that doesn't resonate with you, please delete it. Not here to share what you should believe, that you go into your heart, you feel within your soul, whatever it is. But my frame of reference is that we're very divided. Social media's attempt to make us more connected, we're more and more hiding behind gadgets and fake this and fake that and everything fake. We're more and more divided down to race. Maybe we've improved a bit, but we're still divided there. We're divided in spiritually, in religion, different faiths, different walks, and people, one's right way, one's, I get it. What the result of the way it is that we're very divided. We're divided on sexual preference. I'm compassionate, gay, straight, lesbian, this, that, there. I had another breakthrough from my partner, Veronica, and this is going to be an unpopular thing to discuss. So I'm going to be very vulnerable and just share that I personally, because I've never put a tattoo on myself, I've never marked myself, I just don't like that idea of doing that. I like being what God created. I have a difficult time with, and don't get me wrong, I find tattoos attractive on some people, like they're pretty. But my point is, changing my gender or changing, I've had a difficult time with that. Because in my head, I've always said, if I was supposed to be another sex other than what I'm born, then God would have made me that way in my head. Mm-hmm. And Veronica, who her son Jimmy is gay, and she's been helping the LGBTQ plus I or whatever, all the different things. She's been an incredible woman for many years who's helped these young adults who are cast away from their households because they're gay or they're lesbian or this and that, and they're not accepted by their parents. They end up going to homelessness and to drugs, to sexual problems, because they're just literally pushed out, cast aside. And so she's mentored them and she's helped them. So I have huge and love, respect for them. And I have, because of her, been very close to that community too. And at some point her and I had a conversation. I'm going to be very vulnerable because this is going to maybe upset someone or trigger someone, but that's not even where I'm coming from. I'm just telling you, I've got to break through myself on something I could improve about the way I think about it. I said to her, I'm not really down for this changing your sex, actually going in and having surgeries to change your sex. Forget the doing it for kids and under the age of it. Forget, just I'm not period. Even going to that talk. Period. If you're 35, I made it like I wouldn't do it. And it's just, God wanted you to not have a, and be a woman. And then she gave me a breakthrough. She said, Kaya, you teach this. I'm like, what do I teach? She said, you teach that according to the course, you're not a body. You're not, you have a mind, but you're not that mind. You have a body, but you are not that body. You are not your mind and you are not your body. Then what are you? You are the light. You are God. You're an emanation of your Christ consciousness coming through you. That's who you are. The spiritual you is the real you. The physical you is the avatar that you're wearing. She said, so why don't you focus on that? And I realized I just had a breakthrough. I'm like, wow, I'm seeing what a person is doing to their body and getting some kind of attachment to how they're changing their body. And what I'm missing is it's not even about that. It's about the soul. It's about the spirit. It's about the light that's in them. So that's a more recent breakthrough that, and going back to what I was saying, I feel that we're very divided down to sexual preference, down to gender identity, down to all of this. My wish and my goal, and I'm part of this transformation myself, is that we're all one. We're all one. We're on this journey together. So I started the sonship movement. The sonship movement, the sun. The idea, although the word sonship is actually in the book, A Course in Miracles, it's basically saying we're all sons and daughters of God, of Jesus, right? We're all one under the sun. And the sun doesn't care if you're black, if you're white, if you're gay, straight, lesbian, if you're transgender, the sun doesn't care at all. It doesn't discriminate. It shines its light equally on everybody. I would like to create a world like that. If someone's Christian, if someone's Muslim, if someone's atheist, if someone's gay, straight, lesbian, transgender, if we could look past, I know that's controversial because there's people that think that one way is the right way and everything has to be the wrong way. And I get that. I respect that too. But if we can go past that and love each other and treat each other with reverence and love and respect as creators of the divine, no matter if people have a different understanding of that divine, and we can all get along and we can all love each other. And there wouldn't be, at that point, there would be nope. And we could let go of the greed, the games that are played economically, the haves and the have nots, this disparity in wealth, the disparities in equality and fairness. If we could let go of all of that crap and we could actually just come together, there wouldn't be any homeless people because it would be unacceptable to have homelessness. There wouldn't be any wars. There would be no genocide. There would be no human trafficking, child trafficking, all the disgusting things going on this earth. And the big breakthrough at as well was when the Course said, there's only one problem on earth. We seem to think there's all these issues. We've got the wars that commence, the genocide, the racial discrimination, the gender identity, the human trafficking, the child trafficking, the starvation, the poverty, the disease. We got all these. And it says what the ego wants to do is it wants us to think that there's all these compartmentalized problems and they're all different things that we need to solve. And it says there's only one problem on earth, only one. All these seemingly different problems all stem from one problem. And there's only one problem on earth, and that is separation from God.
You have God, and if everyone had God, everyone would look like heaven.
Correct.
Right, and absolutely.
That is, I feel, my responsibility to play a role in that, how it's going to look, what it's going to look like, I put that on the altar. I don't know. I know that I speak
it's his plan, not ours.
It's his plan. I just want to be an instrument in that. And that's my kind of my main, that's what my heart sings. Success coaching is a way to get there. It's very hard to be all these other things when you're struggling to feed your family and struggling financially. So success coaching help people become the best version of themselves. The personal growth aspect is part of it, but the whole ending of it is creating a world where everyone can win and everyone can be happy, and not a world where we have this disparity of everything that we have.
God did create us because, and he looks at us with that love as he sees us as his children first. He doesn't see us as our sin. Otherwise, he never would have sent Jesus for us. He sees us through that lens of love. And I think it's crazy that we would pick one thing about, say, sexual immorality. We're going to pick on one group of people. This is the homosexual crowd, right? That are 14% of America, but ignore the 80% of men that watch pornography that are also in the church, or the 40% of women that do. There's a problem with sexual immorality, and somebody lied to somebody and said one person's was worse than another's. And God doesn't see it that way. And thank God that he sees us as his children first, that he gives us the access to Jesus. And how we live our lives after we meet Jesus is up to him how he reforms us, because he may not challenge me on some of my things before he challenges me on other things. Because we all have different walks, and we could have been very similar. Like I had an abusive alcoholic mom growing up, and we have very similar stories in that. And I felt very abandoned as a kid. My dad worked a lot, but your life turned differently than mine. And your success is not my success. Your story is not my story, because God has spoke to me in a different way than he spoke to you, because you are not me. And I think if we start going with what God told us, which is if you have the faith that you can say to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but you have not love, you're bankrupt. And love is ultimately the goal of what we're supposed to do. And we're not supposed to look at somebody's sin and say, you can't. You're a faithless sinner, and you're going to burn in the lake of fire. How is that winning people's hearts to God? How is that possibly helping the kingdom by ostracizing a group of people? And so I agree that it's all about love. And it doesn't matter if we think something is a mental illness. It doesn't matter if we think that something is deplorable in our own ideology. What it really boils down to is God loves them, and you can only love Jesus as much as you love the least of these.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Both of you have a gift, and your gift is deep listening. When I studied with Marianne Williamson, she said the biggest thing, most people think it's when you coach someone, it's just the talking and it's the... She says, for someone to be really heard, that it's a skill, but it's also, it's a gift, listening. And I thank you for what you do and how many people you're helping, and God's Goodness Podcast.
Thank you so much.
God is good. God is great.
All the time. We really appreciate having you, Sir Kaya. I just love saying that's... That's pretty awesome.
One day it will be Sir Josh.
It already is. It's the Kingdom of Heaven name. And, yes. And so I'm cool with just being old Josh. I'm cool with being dad. I'm cool with being, hey, babe. I'm cool with the titles that I have. I don't need anything grandiose, because I know where I stand in him, with him.
Yeah.
But it's still cool to see it. It's still cool to say it.
It's so.
I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your story and being vulnerable. That's not always easy. And I find that it's easier with Christians to be vulnerable with other Christians, because we trust in the same creator. And therefore we trust that we're going to be sensitive and gentle with each other's hearts. And then we find out that, hey, your sin and your struggles are very similar to my sins and my struggles. And we're not alone. And he even bonds us in that, our trauma, that we're not alone. Even in our suffering, we're not alone. We're not alone outside of the suffering. We're not alone in being loved by him, or we're not alone in our suffering. And I really appreciate having you on and speaking about your Top Producers Global and your NLP, or the neuroscience studies, things that I had no clue about, neurolinguistics. I'm just starting to learn about things like, hey, imposter syndrome and things like that, right? I have ADHD, or maybe even AUDHD. I'm not quite entirely certain, because I don't like labels, but I like to try to explain why I am the way I am. Like, why do I think this way? And imposter syndrome is a big part of that. I can simultaneously believe that I can do anything and also that I'm a failure at everything. And it's not a fun headspace to be in. And so I really appreciate having you on.
Hey, friends. Before we wrap this powerful conversation, I want to share one last moment with Kaya that we couldn't leave on the cutting room floor, so to speak. After we ended the official interview, he shared something so timely, so rich in wisdom, we knew you had to hear it. He shares one last breakthrough, a word that reminded him to simply plant the seeds and trust God to grow the harvest. So wherever you're listening from, whatever season you're in, this next moment is for you. Let it speak to your heart like it did ours.
My last breakthrough, someone said to me, just plant the seeds, don't control the trees. Plant the seeds, don't control the trees. He said, your job is to become a master seed planter. Just keep planting seeds.
Paul and Apollyon had issues with the church at one point because Paul was a great seed planter, but Apollyon was a great waterer. And Paul had to make reference and say, look, it doesn't matter who plants and who waters. It just matters that the work is done. You can't say one is better than the other. The seed is useless without the water, but the water is useless without the seed. And God is the one who does the growing. And don't take what we do as the most important part of the puzzle, right? Mm. We're not the man. We're not the one. We're not that guy. We have to have a village. We have to have help. We have to have other people in the name of God to help us nurture this so this forest can grow. This is God's plan that my wife, she mentions like planting the seeds, and you clearly like watering them, right? Mm-hmm. So you get growth out of that. And obviously it's, you need sunlight. Now here I am.
Mr. Sunshine.
Not always. But it's what the point is, it isn't just one thing and no one thing is more important than the other. Growth can't happen without God, and he doesn't need the seed, water, or anything. He can grow just by commanding it to be, and it will be. And I think it's wonderful that he uses us the way he uses us so that we can be a part of that process, that we can be a part of the kingdom, that we can be a part of how he is doing what he is doing, that I now am not just watching God do things, that I'm a part of it. And he's, I say using, but it sounds bad in that case, but he's utilizing me.
Partnering with you.
Partnering with me in a way that makes me feel like I am doing his work, even though he's doing all the legwork. He's doing all the hard. I'm just doing what he asked me to do. And he's faithful to us.
That's beautiful.
Thank you so much for coming on with us. We did go a little over 40 minutes, but we'll get through it with the audio editors. If anybody listening has been moved by any of this, or someone was put on your heart, please share this with them, because it could be the message that God's been wanting to speak to them. And it could be the thing that leads to their breakthrough. So, and don't forget, rate us, because that'll help the algorithm know that people are liking it, and then it'll send this out to more people, and then more people can be encouraged and get their faith strengthened. And with that, we'll talk to you next time, and thank you so much for being with us, Kaya.
Thank you. And if you want to reach me for any reason, you can go to topproducersglobal.com to learn about that. And then also you can always text the word TOP, T-O-P, to the phone number 26786. You can text the word TOP, that's T-O-P, to the phone number 26786, TOP, T-O-P, to the phone number 26786, and then you'll get an actual invitation to a free live event. And then you'll also get included to a private closed group where we have all the top producers that we coach around the world, so you can be included in that community. And we'll also send you some free gifts, how to communicate better into the personality types of the people in front of you. If you're in business, how to close more business and make more money in your business by being effective with your mindset and your communication skills. So those are your free gifts as well by just being here with Josh and Shelley today. Thank you so much, both of you, for your big hearts. And we look forward to seeing you guys pretty soon.
Awesome. We'll be sure to put those in the show notes too.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
Okay. We thought we were done, but God wasn't. What you're about to hear, we weren't planning to share it, but we couldn't hold it back. Kaya started speaking prophetically over me and Josh, and honestly, over you too. These moments stirred something so deep, we knew it had to be a part of this episode. So here it is, just raw encouragement, vision, and a glimpse of what God might be up to next. Listen in.
Have you written a book, Josh?
I have not.
I'd like to help you write a book.
Yeah?
That's not, by the way, that's not what I do. Okay, so I sense from you, you have so much to share to be a speaker on stage. Both of you as a couple doing this together would be incredible. I just see a vision of you walking on stage, speaking to 1,000 people, and just transforming lives, both of you together.
I accept that.
I know you'd be a magnificent coach, mentor, coach, breakthrough coach. And it can have a huge impact. You're already doing it. So that's a separate conversation I would love to have with you. I'm almost seeing potentially us doing an event together.
Conveniently, we're doing a God's Goodness Kingdom Conference, September 6th, maybe 5th and 6th.
I would love to be there. I see us, and I don't know the full picture yet. I see us doing a retreat breakthrough. We can help people release and heal their past, their trauma. Let go of the hurt, the pain, the anger, the sadness, the grief, the guilt, the shame, the let go of, they can let go of the unworthiness, undeservingness, not good enough, not smart enough. They can let go of that, and then they could step into God's grace and create the future the way God would have them be, what God wants for them.
We will water that seed and see what happens.
This is the most fun interview I think I've ever done. I don't think there's actually a more fun interview I've ever done. I am excited. My wheels are turning. This would be a transformational experience.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow us on all the socials at God's Goodness Podcast, where you can find the latest and say, hey, it's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through any of the links in the About section, or of course, by praying for us, as well as sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds us why we do this. Until next time, remember, God is always working, miracles are real, and your breakthrough could be just around the corner. Keep believing, keep expecting, and don't forget to share this with someone who needs hope today. We'll talk to you next week.